mention a couple of things as far as the introduction to the psalm, give you a little bit of background, although we will not preach a lot along the lines of the context of the particular psalm this afternoon, but we will look at some things as we go along. Psalm 89, this is, as you know, I've mentioned several times while preaching through the psalms, that the psalms are divided into five books. This psalm is the last of the third book of Psalms, which corresponds with the book of Leviticus and the Pentateuch. And so this psalm, it tells us in the heading, was written, it is a Mishkal psalm of Ethan the Ezrahite. And it is Mishkal, as was the previous psalm, which means a psalm of instruction. And this psalm has much to say about the faithfulness of God. In fact, the psalmist mentions his faithfulness. The word faithful in some form is mentioned six times in this passage of Scripture of this psalm alone. And this psalm is quite the contrast to the previous psalm that we studied on Sunday, Psalm 88, which was a psalm of trouble, a psalm of sorrow, and even one of the rarest of the psalms that even throughout the psalm, it never turned to praise or rejoicing. It even ended in darkness. But this psalm, the previous psalm was all gloom and no glory. This psalm is pretty much all glory and no gloom. And what a blessing that this psalm is. It is very encouraging. Now, this psalm of great excitement, it rests upon the covenant that God made with David. Now, sometime before we conclude the psalm, we may look at some of that, but if you want to read that particular covenant that God made with David, it's found in 2 Samuel chapter 7, and you can read about it in verses 4 through 17. Some of it is obviously shared in this psalm as well. And so that is the portion of Scripture that records God's covenant with David. But if you want to know how important that covenant is, it is referred to on several occasions throughout the Bible, and this psalm here is devoted to that particular topic as well. Now, we would divide this rather lengthy psalm. The majority of the psalms are not very lengthy. This particular psalm has 52 verses, and we would divide the psalm into four sections, and each section will pay close attention to the faithfulness of God. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God is faithful. I didn't mark all of the verses because I have this new Bible and I'm reluctant to mark in it. So far, I haven't marked in it at all. And I've really wanted to, but I haven't. But look at verse number one. It says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness. So you see faithfulness to all generations. We see it again in verse number two. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. Verse number five. Look at verse number five. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. So several times throughout these verses of Scripture, here in this psalm, we see that the faithfulness of God is on display. And so in verses 1 through 18, we'll look at a couple of verses in this psalm this evening. We will praise Him because He is faithful. And then verses 19 through 29, we will trust Him because He is faithful. In verses 30 through 45, His chastisement reveals His faithfulness. And in the last verses, verses 46 through 50, we will wait for Him because He is faithful. Amen. He is a completely trustworthy God. And so I want to read these first two verses again. I just read them and we'll pray together and ask the Lord to help us. So the psalmist says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Bible, the opportunity, Lord, to read a portion of Scripture in our hearing this evening. I pray that you would help us now as we look at these verses. Help us, Lord, to share truth from your word, to be a help and a blessing to God's people. I pray you would help us to rightly divide the word of truth, to speak that truth in love. May our hearts be challenged and helped by the preaching of your word. And Lord, I do pray that you would help us to preach and help us to refrain from saying anything that would be contrary to your way or your will or your word. And Lord, we certainly need your help in order to be able to do that. And we'll thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I mentioned already that these first several verses, first 18 verses of the chapter, in those verses of Scripture we will have as our theme, we'll praise Him because He is faithful. And so the psalmist said, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever, and with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I'm sure that there is one thing that all of us can agree on, and that is the fact that the Lord has been merciful and faithful to each of us. I think you would be completely out of your mind, disingenuous, if you were to say tonight that God has not been merciful to you and that God has not been faithful to you, because obviously you're here, so He has. Amen. And so if you've ever had a reason to sing, the psalmist talked about singing of the mercies of the Lord. If you've ever had a reason to sing, if you've ever had a reason to have a song in your heart, it should certainly be because of the mercy and the faithfulness of God. If for no other reason you can sing because God is merciful and He's faithful. Listen, none of us, not a single one of us, has ever deserved the mercy of God. We've never done anything to earn the mercy of God. But in spite of that, He has been merciful to us. And in spite of the fact that we have not been entirely faithful, He has been faithful to us. Amen. And so for that reason alone, we should have a song upon our hearts to sing praises to His name because of His mercy and faithfulness. Now, I want to look at several verses in the Bible tonight. Many places in the Bible encourage us to sing. And I am very thankful for a church that enjoys singing. I love congregational singing. I've mentioned that numerous times. I like all forms of singing. My favorite is, without a doubt, congregational singing. But the Bible over and over encourages us to sing. Now, the word sing, or its equivalent, English equivalent, appears 72 times in the book of Psalms alone. Now, that ain't even all the Bible. I didn't even look how many times it appears in all of Scripture. But the word sing in one of its English forms appears 72 times just in the Psalms. And so we have reason to sing. We have a lot to sing about. And we ought to have rejoicing hearts with a desire to sing of the goodness of the Lord. Now, we're going to look at several places. Come to Psalm 9. As far as I know, all of the references that I will look at will be in Psalm, except for one at the end. But look at Psalm 9. Psalm 9, we're going to talk about singing just a little bit. And then we're going to talk about mercy just a little bit. I don't think we'll ever get to faithfulness this evening. But look what the Bible says in Psalm 9, in verse number 1. It says, I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will shew forth all Thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in Thee. Now look at this. I will sing praise to Thy name, O Thou Most High. And so the psalmist here, this is a psalm of David, he begins this psalm by saying, I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. He's not holding back anything. He's not concerned with what others may think or what others may say. He is thankful for God's goodness in his life. And so he lets it be known that I'm going to praise God with my whole heart. And I'm going to do that. I'm going to sing praise to Thy name. And so listen, the songs that we sing, the songs that you sing, to whom do they offer praise? I trust that the music that you enjoy and the songs that you sing and the songs that you enjoy, they bring praise to the Lord. If it doesn't promote the Lord, I don't know what you're doing singing those songs if you claim to be a Christian. Amen. And so the psalmist said here, I will sing praise to Thy name. Now, look what the Bible, look, you're in Psalm 9, you won't have to go far, probably on the same page. Look at Psalm 7 for just a moment. Psalm 7, look at verse 17. I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness and will sing praises to the name of the Lord Most High. And so we praise Him because He is right and because there is none higher than He. So who else would you sing praise other than the Lord? Now, come to Psalm 57. Psalm 57. You say, preacher, you're going to get on music again. No, I'm just trying to encourage you. If you truly love the God that you profess to love, your song in your heart should be a song of praise to the Lord. And if it's not, it's a heart issue. There's nothing the preacher can do about that. That's between you and the Lord. I can tell you what the Bible says about it. In fact, look at this psalm. Look at Psalm 57. Look what the psalmist said in verse number 7. My heart is fixed. If your heart gets fixed, everything else in your life will straighten up. Most of the things is a heart issue. And so he said, my heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. Now, you say, well, I don't sing praises to the Lord. I sing all of this other garbage and all this other junk, and that stuff is in my heart. Well, then your heart's a mess. You need to get your heart fixed. Because you see what the psalmist said? My heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. What is the result of that? I will sing and give praise. So again, we've mentioned on numerous occasions that our God is a God of order. And so when our heart gets right, our song and our praise is right. Listen, if your song doesn't exalt Him, it's because your heart is fixed on something other than the Lord. Most of the time, in many cases, it's fixed on worldliness. It's fixed on ungodliness. It's fixed on things that are not pleasing to God. But if your heart is fixed on the Lord, your song will be fixed on praise to Him. Amen. Now, where'd you get that from, preacher? From the Bible. I didn't have to make it up. I didn't have to come up with something. I didn't have to give you my thoughts and my convictions. I didn't have to do any of that. I just tell you from the Bible, if your heart is right with God, you'll sing praise to the Lord. Now, come to Psalm 61. Come to Psalm 61. Look at verse number 8 again. This is a song of David or Psalm of David. Look what he says. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Well, ain't that a blessing? David has decided that with the help of the Lord and by the grace of God, he's not going to just sing when things are going good. He's not just going to sing when everything is all right and there's no troubles in his life and there's no problems. No, he said, I'm going to sing unto the Lord as long as I live. And he said, and just in case there comes a time in my life when I'm still alive, but I don't have my being, he made the second statement, I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. And so wouldn't it be a horrible thing to get the place where your mind doesn't work properly anymore? And because all you've ever done your whole life is fill your, as far as music is concerned, is fill it with ungodliness and worldliness and junk and all kinds of secular music. And you're laying there and you barely have your being anymore, but you can't remember any songs of praise unto our God because your heart's filled with worldliness. Listen, I used to go to the nursing home a lot, and you'd go over there into that memory. They call it it used to be the Alzheimer's ward. They call it the memory loss unit now. They have to desensitize everything. But anyway, and those people in there, I remember one night in particular, it was a young lady. She had just recently started working there, and she was bringing out these patients, these memory loss patients, and we were singing, and it was amazing how some of them can't remember very much at all. Some of them not even their name, but they can remember those hymns. They remember those songs. They're in their heart and they can remember that. I remember in particular that lady one night, the young lady, she told me, she said, I can't believe this. She's speaking of a particular gentleman. She said, he doesn't even know where his room is at. And he was singing those hymns. You know why? Because when he did have his being, he didn't waste his life filling his heart and his mind full of garbage, amen. He was filling it full of songs. His heart was fixed, and he was singing unto the Lord. And now sometimes he don't have his being, but you know what's in his heart? Songs that honor and glorify the Lord. Ain't that a blessing? Praise the Lord. That's what the psalmist says in Psalm 61:8. That's what I'm seeking after. Now, look at Psalm 138. Psalm 138. Preacher, can't we talk about something else? Yeah, in a little bit. In a little bit. Look at what the Bible says in Psalm 138. Psalm 138 is also a Psalm of David. He said, I will praise thee, here it is again, with my whole heart. Before the gods, you know, it's the little g's, not the God of gods, but the worldly gods. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. Now you say, well, preacher, why would you bring up this passage? Why would you mention this verse? Well, because we should not be ashamed to sing praise to our God in the presence of the world. Our God is worthy of our praise. He's above all gods. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And we shouldn't be ashamed to sing His praises. Listen, this world is not ashamed of their wicked, ungodly, worldly music. And so you and I should not be ashamed of our music that honors and glorifies the Lord. It honors and glorifies the name that is above everything. You can't tell me. Sometimes we're out on the street and these guys come by in these trucks and they, sissy boys, I know that because they're trucks doing this. And they got this big old boom box. Somebody forgot to tell them the speakers go inside the truck, not outside the truck. We're not interested in hearing what you have to say. But they're booming their ungodly worldly music because they're not ashamed of it. Amen. But we get in there, and I understand that, you know, our music don't sound great turned up loud, but sometimes I don't really have a vehicle that has any kind of boom box in it. But sometimes I would like to just do that. Amen. And just let people, I'm not ashamed of my music either. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And I love Amazing Grace and the old rugged cross and nothing but the blood, amen, to wash away my sins. Well, I'm not ashamed of that. Let's sing it out loud, amen. Now, look at Psalm 149. Come to Psalm 149. If you got one of them trucks like that, just fix it, amen. I'm not apologizing. What a mess. You say, well, it's just a fad, preacher. It's sickening. Look, that don't have nothing. I'm sorry. It don't have anything to do with my message. Look at Psalm 149. It's about as bad. I think the same guys that do that probably wear their pants down here so you can see their underwear, too. Okay, that's enough of that. Psalm 149. Look at verse number 1. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and His praise in the congregation of saints. And so here we're given some instruction on where to sing. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and His praise in the congregation of the saints. So we talked about singing out in front of the public in the world. We should also sing in the congregation. We'll talk about that some more in just a minute. In fact, I'm going to look at some more things in Psalms in just a moment. But come to Hebrews real quickly. Hebrews real quickly. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Speaking of this congregational singing, look what the Bible says here in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 12. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Now, I love this. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. So, according to the verse that we just read, it is appropriate to sing praise unto His name wherever you are. If you're in church, you're in the congregation, you're out in the world, it's always appropriate to sing praise to the Lord. He's worthy. Now, come back to Psalm 13. Psalm 13. I got just a couple more things here, and we'll move on. Now, Psalm 13, if you've ever needed a reason other than His mercy and faithfulness to sing, look what the Bible says in verse number 6, Psalm 13. I will sing unto the Lord because He hath dealt bountifully with me. Now, listen, I don't know what you've faced in your life or what you've been through in your life, but I can promise you one thing. You have received better than you deserve. All of us, regardless of whether you're lost or saved, we have received mercy from the Lord because He is faithful and He has dealt with us bountifully. Now, that word bountifully means liberal and bestowing gifts and favors. It means to be generous. And our God is definitely generous to us. He has bestowed great gifts and favors upon us. I would be ashamed to sing praises to something other than our God. Now, come to Psalm 95. Psalm 95. What a slap in the face of a holy God for you to claim to love Him and you sing about drinking beer and committing adultery and fornicating and boot scooting, boogieing and all kind of garbage such as that. Amen. I don't know about that, preacher. Well, I'll just keep reading the Bible. Look at Psalm 95. Psalm 95. Look at verse number 1. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Listen, He is the foundation of our salvation. Let's sing unto the Lord. Amen. Look at Psalm 81. Psalm 81. Preacher, don't you know it's Wednesday night and you're talking to the cream of the crop? Yeah, but our flesh is wicked. If we're not careful, we're to get sidetracked. Psalm 81, look at verse number 1. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Listen, without Him, we don't have any strength. And sing aloud unto God our strength. Now, I've mentioned this before, but I'll say it again here. It is a shame that God must encourage folks to praise Him. Throughout the Psalms, we are often encouraged to praise Him. And I'm not pointing fingers at you. I'm guilty as well. But all of us ought to be ashamed that God has to encourage us to praise Him. And so here in this passage, He's exhorting the children of Israel to praise Him. And in these first few verses of the Psalm, and unfortunately, He has to encourage you and I to praise Him as well. And we shouldn't have to be encouraged to praise Him. Well, I'll tell you why. We're quick to complain, but we're slow to praise. We are quick to pout, but we are slow to shout. We don't care who hears us whine about everything we don't like, but we're not really interested in being too vocal when it comes to bragging on the Lord, singing aloud that God is our strength. Why is that the case? Now, look at Psalm 81. Look, sing aloud. It won't hurt you to speak up for the Lord. When you were lost, I don't know about you. I'll just preach to me. When I was lost, many times we sang loudly and out of tune, and we didn't care who heard us. We done it in front of our friends, and we'd be making awkward movements and just being crazy. But we come to church, and I would sing, preacher, but I can't sing. Well, you sung before. You have sang loudly before. You're in a congregation. I understand that some of us don't need to sing solos. I get that. Some of us sound better in a group, or better yet, in a choir or a congregation. I get that. But we ought to be willing to sing aloud for the Lord. We ought to be willing to make a joyful noise for the Lord. And so it gets me, these people. You know, you see these clips and things, and these people are at these concerts, and they're just jumping around, and they got their hands in the air, and they're singing to the top of their lungs, and they come to church and they sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." Why? They're praising and worshiping their God. Are you ashamed of your God? I'm not ashamed of my God. Sing aloud, the Bible says. Well, I don't think we ought to sing aloud. Well, then you don't believe the Bible. Amen. We are singing. Look at this. Sing aloud. Look at the verse. Sing aloud unto God our strength. We don't have no strength apart from Him. So it is with His strength that we praise Him. It is with His strength that we serve Him. It's with His strength that we witness for Him. It is with His strength that you're here tonight. Amen. With his strength that we got out of bed this morning. I could go on and on and on. Why are we not willing to sing loudly for God who is our strength? And look at the next phrase. Let's make a joyful noise. Now, this is not an excuse not to practice or to put in some sort of effort. And I think the more that some of you have, I don't know who's here tonight that was here from the beginning. But some almost 25 years ago now, just in a month or so, and when we came to church, we first came here, there was no music. We didn't have anybody that could play any music. And I can barely play three chords on a guitar and strum along. And there was no music. The singing was horrible because I was doing a lot of it. And it was just bad. But now, after all these years, God has blessed us with musicians and song leaders, and we are singing together as a congregation, and we're working at it. You know, I had somebody tell me the other day, they called me, they was asking me about Bible conference, and you know what, and it's not that they don't like preaching, because I know the individual very well, as a pastor himself. You know what he said? He said, "We can't wait to come to Bible conference because we love the congregational singing." Now, ain't that a blessing? You know why that is? Because we practice every week. You say, "No, we're singing praise to the Lord." Yes, we are. And we're doing it loudly. And we're trying to get better at it. And the song leaders keep introducing new songs. I know that some of you, Brad gets up here and he says, "All right, this song ain't very familiar. But we're going to turn to this song. We're going to learn it together." I can just feel the air go out of the room. Some of you go. Now, wait a minute. I want to put this in perspective. When you were younger, or if you still listen to worldly music, when a new song comes out, oh, man, you got to hear it again and again and again and again. Why is that not the case when we hear something new and fresh about the Lord? Instead of, "Oh no, here he goes again." Something new about the Savior. Another way I can praise Him. Another way I can exalt Him. Another way I can make a joyful noise unto the Lord. He's worthy. He's my strength. He's my salvation. He's my Savior. He's my God. Why don't we worship Him? Amen. Sing with a smile. If everybody could see what you see when you're standing up here, sing with a smile. Sing with an attitude of gratitude. God has been bountiful to you. He has blessed you bountifully. He's been merciful. He's been faithful. And I got good news for you. He's going to keep being merciful. He's going to keep being faithful. So let your face know that, amen. Here's another thing. Can I just be honest? Ain't nobody here but us. Can I just be honest? I don't like every song we sing. I don't like every song people sing here. You know why you've never known that? Because when we sing a song I like, I rejoice and I got a smile on my face and I'm happy about it and I can worship the Lord. And when somebody sings a song I don't particularly like, you know what? I got a smile on my face. I'm happy that they're not singing in a bar. I'm happy that they love Jesus and they have a gratitude or an attitude of gratitude towards the good things of God. I might not agree with the whole thing. I'm not going to be no pouting, whining sissy about it. You're the pastor. Everything's supposed to be like you love it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. If everything was like I like it, we would have a smaller crowd than we got to. Be glad that we can worship together. Spirit, listen, I have faults and so do you. I have likes and dislikes and so do you. You know what we come together and agree on? That our God is holy, He's righteous, He's merciful, He's gracious, He's loving, He's kind. We come because of Him. I didn't come because of you. No, I'm glad you're here. And your presence here makes it better that you are. I like that. But I was planning on coming whether you came or not. You know what? Before church, before my wife called at 7:05, there's a problem on Highway 52. We can't make it. You know, there was 5 or 6 of us here. You know what we were already planning to do? We were making arrangements to get music. We're going to sing. You know what I was going to do if there was 5 here? Preach the same thing I'm preaching right now. We were going to sing the same songs in the congregation, and we were going to preach the same message, whether it was 50 or whether there was 5. You know why? Because it's not about you and it's not about me, it's about Him. And so we come together to worship Him, we come together to sing about Him. And listen, you know, sometimes the reason the song service at church doesn't do you any good is because you're not in a position or in a mindset to worship the Lord. You've been, and you work out there. I'm not talking about that. You work out in the world and you have to hear that garbage at work. If you go into the restaurant, it's playing. You go into the gas station. You can't even pump gas without listening to it. But I want to tell you something, friend. God has done something for us that deserves us exalting His name. He's worthy. Now, come back to our text. Well, look, all the way back to Psalm 89. You done forgot we was in Psalm 89. Psalm 89. Look at the verse. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Ain't that a blessing? He hasn't grown weary of. He hasn't grown tired of. Now, I know that sometimes you get, life kicks you in the teeth. And it cuts your heart out. And it, I get that. But I want to tell you, God's never been anything but good to you. And when all else is going wrong, and when life is not going the way you think it should, there's no reason that we can't sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. You know, when you're on the mountaintop, it's because of God's mercy. When you're down in the valley, can I just tell you, it's because of God's mercy that it's not worse. That it could be worse. How could it be worse? Was you here Sunday? That psalm, man. Every time you're reading that psalm, you're studying that psalm, every time you think things could not get worse, it got worse. Thank God for His mercy. I will sing of the mercy of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known Thy faithfulness to all generations. Now, not only do we sing His praises, I want you to notice in the psalm, not only did David sing His praises, or the psalmist sing His praises, but we should also be ready to testify of His faithfulness. Did you see the wording? I will sing of the mercy of the Lord forever, colon, there's more to come. With my mouth will I make known Thy faithfulness to all generations. And so, let me ask you, can you sing with a glad heart the goodness of the Lord? Or can you with your lips boldly proclaim the faithfulness of the Lord? Now, we spent a long time talking about singing to the Lord, and all those passages of Scripture in the Psalms that have to do with singing. But the psalmist didn't just stop in Psalm 89 with singing to the Lord. He also lets us know that I'm going to testify of the goodness of the Lord. What has happened to your testimony? I'm not being critical at all. I'm trying to help you. Sometimes we will have a moment in the service. Anybody got a testimony? Not us. It's like why? What happened to your testimony? Where did it go? Well, I don't think. Well, quit thinking and start believing the Bible. The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. There's no reason that anybody can't praise the Lord for saving him. Now, you can't go to preaching and all that kind of garbage. I get that. But I want to tell you something. God has given you a testimony. We are to sing praise unto His name, and we're to testify of God's faithfulness. Amen. Shame on you if you've lost your testimony. You used to be the first. The preacher gave an opportunity for somebody to testify. You'd already be out of your seat. Now we couldn't drag you up with a chain hoist. Why? What's happened? God has not ceased to be merciful. And He's not ceased to be faithful. And He continually enjoys our praise. Amen. We ought to be in hell. I ought to be in hell. You ought to be in hell. But man, God's good to us. I don't know why in the world, if you don't say anything in the world, but I thank God He saved me. Glad I'm not going to hell. That's a great testimony. You don't have to tell us 100,000 things. Just let the world know whose side you're on. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the psalmist said, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known Thy faithfulness to all generations. Now, we have much to sing about. We have much to testify about as well. Notice the longevity of His faithfulness to all generations. So the Lord was faithful to that generation before us. He's faithful to us. I got good news for you. I know we pout and we whine. We talk about, man, I don't know what it's going to be like for my grandchildren. I don't know either, but I know this. God will still be faithful. And He'll still be merciful. And His Word will still be right. I don't know how the world's going to go. I don't know what people's going to do. I don't know what direction our nation's going. But I know this thing. God will never change, and neither will His Word. 2030, if we're still here, God will be faithful. 2040, if we're still here, God will still be faithful. 2060, if we're still here, God will still be faithful, amen. And He'll still be deserving of our praise, and some of you still won't have a testimony. And you know what? In spite of that, God will still be merciful and He'll still be faithful. What a great God. You ought to want to stand up and sing for Him. I remember years ago, Brother Marty's in heaven now. I remember when I first met Brother Marty, he had MS really bad. He contracted MS while he was in prison. I can talk about him now that he's in heaven. He won't mind. Marty was in prison for being a drug pusher. And I forgot what you call them things. Drug dealer. That's what it was. And he got caught for that several times. He wound up in prison. While Marty was in prison, he got MS. Marty got in a very dark, dark place. He got out of prison, and he was in a wheelchair. And he sat in his room in the dark and did drugs at his mama's house. But all he could hear was his mama praying for him. His mama coming by to witness to him. And his mama praying for him. And finally, one day, those prayers got a hold of his heart. Brother Marty started going to church in a wheelchair. And he got saved and born again. And he got off of drugs. And he got to where he could walk with a walker. When I first met Brother Marty, he was walking with a walker. And we'd be in church, we'd be in a revival meeting somewhere. We didn't go to the same church. I wasn't pastor at the time. And Brother Marty was going to a different church, and I was going to my church. And we went to revivals all the time. It didn't matter what church was in. If the preacher said one thing about somebody saying something, Brother Marty would jump up in his pew and start singing, "I want to die on the battlefield." And he did. He went from that walker to walking without a walker. Brother Marty was an expert musician before MS, and he barely could move his fingers after MS, but he got to playing the guitar a little bit again and got to singing for the Lord, and he got to riding a scooter. Now, I went to the emergency room several times because I'd get a phone call. Brother Marty has crashed his scooter, and he's in intensive care. He's in the hospital. And I go see Marty. But I don't know how I'm talking about Marty. I'll tell you how I'm talking about Marty. He had a testimony. And he had a song in his heart. Brother Marty even got his driver's license again. Now, I promise you, there's no way in the world I would have ever gotten in a car with him. But they gave him his driver's license. Now, whoever done that, they as crazy as he was. I can tell you that. But he got his driver's license again. But he loved the Lord. Just shortly before Brother Marty passed, his vehicle had tore up and he called me. And I went over close to where he lived and his vehicle was tore up on the side of the road. And I worked on his vehicle pretty much all one evening, pretty much the rest of the next day. And finally we got his vehicle going and got it back to his house. And it was about a week later that I got the phone call that he had passed away. My point to this story is this. From the time Marty got saved, I met him just shortly after he got saved. There was never a time that I saw him, regardless of his condition, and it wasn't pleasant and it wasn't good. He had a song in his heart for the Lord. And he was the first one to testify about where the Lord brought him from. Where's our song? Where's our testimony? What we've gotten so religious, you know, and we've gotten so pious, and we've gotten so set in our ways that, well, nobody wants to hear that. Look, listen, I do. I want to hear you sing. I want to hear you testify. I want to hear you brag on the Lord. And I bet I'm not the only one. He's worthy, amen. And so the psalmist said, in verse number 1, it's not just our song, it's our testimony. Now, look at verse number 2, and I'm not going to have time to get into it, but I'll read it. He said, "For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall be established in the very heavens." So, for the second time, in as many verses, we see the mercy and the faithfulness of God. Can I remind you that they are so wonderful that they bear repeating? We talked just a moment ago about how many times the word sing or singing is mentioned in the Psalms. But you know, there's something mentioned in the Psalms. When you think of the Psalms, when I first started studying the book of Psalms, I thought it was going to be all about praise and worship and all that. And I have learned that it's mainly about prayer. It's a lot about prayer. And it's about trouble. And it is about rejoicing. But you know something that appears in the Psalms way more than singing? Is mercy. In fact, mercy appears 135 times in the book of Psalms alone in all of its English word forms. So if we've ever got anything to sing about, it's God's mercy. And so sing it again. Tell it again. Don't grow weary. Sing His praises over and over and tell His goodness again and again. If we've heard it, we want to hear it again. If there are those who have not yet heard it, they may want to hear it. Don't let the rocks cry out for you. Give Him praise while you can. You know why? One of the reasons that we can be so sure of our salvation and eternal life is because of the faithfulness of God and because of the mercy of God. What a blessing it is to be saved. We ought to sing and we ought to testify of His goodness. Amen. Father, thank You for the Bible, for the opportunity this afternoon to look into Your Word. Lord, thank You for encouraging us, encouraging our hearts from the Word of the Lord. Would You help our church to have an attitude of praise upon our lips, a desire, Lord, in spite of all that's going on in the world around us, that our God is still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He is coming back. And I'm so thankful for that. Lord, we love You. We thank You for loving us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.